Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe, the head coach, and I'm joined by Coach K, Fraud, Schultheis. Coach, I had to play that because you know why? I had to put it in my face because, you know, every time I think that the Hoosiers may falter, they just prove that they're going to keep going on and on and on.
Hey, the Hoosiers are the real deal, Joe. The Hoosiers are the real deal. And I'll tell you what was so impressive about last night's win at Illinois. After I welcome everybody to Friday's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, and last night, if you were not a Hoosier fan, if you were a Hoosier fan, if you were on the fence, you weren't sure, you're questioning what this team's all about, you saw it last night at Illinois. Now, I will be the first one to say, Joe, because I know you're going to say it, even though Illinois did beat Purdue, Illinois is not a very good team right now. I get that. I understand that. But here's what impressed me.
Any game on the road in the Big Ten is important.
Yeah, and this is what impressed me about the Hoosiers. They didn't come out. Usually what they've done is they built a lead or played pretty well in the first half, and then they struggled the last 6 minutes, 7 minutes. This team played its best basketball its last 9 minutes. And this is the telltale sign of a team that's figuring it out, a team that's feeling good about itself, a team that thinks it can get something done. With just, I think it was just a minute left in the game, Joe. The Hoosiers were up like, you know, 28, 29, whatever it was, and we were still busting our ass on defense. We came up with an out-of-bounds steal on a full-court situation. We're able to come down and score on it. Those are the things that tell me that a team gets it. And I've said this before. I've said it for the last month. I don't know what the magic was. I don't know what assistant coach finally got Coach Crean to say, hey, we got to do this differently. But kudos to Coach Crean for changing up. And we're going back and we're playing real basketball. And everybody in Hoosier Nation loves it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to tell you, I'm going to make a couple points here, okay? And I don't like making these points, but I'm going to, okay? First of all, you know, I've always said I hope they do well because, you know, I want him to stay there. You know, he's proven to me this year that, you know, the way the Las Vegas or was Maui trip went, you know, it could easily have been the same old thing. And, you know, everyone kept saying, wait until down the stretch. And you know what? I don't care what he does the rest of the year. You know, he's got a couple tough games yet. But you know what? He's done a great job, and I got one thing for the people on the Peak basketball message board. What they say is not a reflection of the owner or their employees on there. It's just people writing random thoughts. There are still people saying that if he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, he's gone. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely don't believe that Fred Glass or anybody at IU is going to make a change after what we've seen, the metamorphosis. And truly, folks, that term, the metamorphosis, and some of you probably don't know what it means, go ahead and look it up. The metamorphosis of this basketball team this year has been, it's just so encouraging because I never doubted that IU had the talent or the players. I knew that Coach Crean and his staff did a good job of recruiting. Don't get me wrong. I never said that. I questioned two things. The responsibility that the coaches took to make sure the players were doing what they needed to do. And two, the style of type of basketball we were playing in the Big Ten and on an IU schedule, a national schedule, for them to be able to compete. We weren't moving the ball. We weren't doing the things we needed to. We're doing that now. And we can say, well, Blackman's gone. That's not the reason. James Blackman getting hurt, losing his 16 points, if it did anything, it made this coaching staff look in the mirror and say, we can't win this way. And they went back and they used a play-by committee with Hartman and Biefeld and the guys, and Thomas Bryant got touches throughout the game, and he's just become such a good player. And I don't think he would have, in the old style, the dribble drive offense, he never would have become that. So I'm just very happy about it. And I'm getting a phone call from somewhere out of New York, but I'm not going to take it. Folks, if you're calling into the show, you need to call 773-897-6325. Otherwise, you are texting me at this number, 812-480-9449. You need to text it. No, the call just ended. So it's been a metamorphosis of this IU basketball program. Tom Crean is not going anywhere. We are in first place. We have Iowa at Iowa. We have Maryland. I think we're going to win one of those two. Iowa's lost, I think, to Wisconsin, Joe. Is that correct? A couple nights ago?
Yes.
Well, I think that just pretty much puts IU in a position that they're going to end up tied for first. Now, you could say, Coach, you could lose to Iowa, you could lose to Maryland, that could change things. You're right, it could. But I don't think it's going to. I love this Hoosier team the way they're playing right now, because they're playing like a team. And, Joe, I'll give Purdue credit. Purdue made a bunch of mistakes early in that game. But you know what? They did not quit, and damn near pulled that game out as IU got a little sloppy at the end on several situations. And I'm going to go on record right now, and Joe's going to love this, put the applause meter on. That was a clean block at the end of the game. It could have gone either way, and it went the way of a goaltend, but I think it was a clean block.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna, you know, they've won and Purdue should never put themselves in that situation. So officials, I wouldn't want to be an official. So if I'm not willing to be an official, I really can't sit there and judge that call. I agree with you. I think it could have went both ways, and you know, it went the wrong way for me, right way for you. But you know what? Yeah, you know, that's the one thing you got. That as a Purdue fan, you just got to be happy that they didn't quit. Hope they regroup and that they get Maryland on, you know. And you know what's funny is I started noticing on our Azura Grill and Cafe basketball pick'em contest, all these people picking Purdue. And then I come to realize why. Because it helps IU. I was always wondering, what? Oh, my God, I can't believe all these people are picking Purdue. Because there's some guys that pick Purdue that have never picked Purdue just because they would never pick Purdue. And even for a $10 gift card from Azura. And it's just been amazing, you know. It's just been Mike Honcho has not sent his in yet. I'm predicting he picks Maryland to win 1,000-0.
Well, he probably will, but I do want to add one more thing on Purdue before we move on. That basketball team didn't give up. The shot could have gone, or the block could have gone the other way on the call, on a block instead of goaltend. But I'm sure that Coach Painter and Purdue fans are frustrated with the dry spells that that this team seems to have.
Exactly.
And that's a tough thing. I mean, you know, one thing that the Hoosiers have been good about all year is they're consistently a good shooting team. And now that they're moving the ball and cleaned up some of the defense, you know, they're putting themselves in a position to get a lead early or be right there early. Purdue is just struggling in being able to be a consistent shooting team. And, you know, that's a nightmare scenario going in to the one-and-done tournaments.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it is. And, you know, with all their inconsistency, I don't see it them lasting that long in the Big Ten tournament or the NCAA tournament. But I'll tell you what, Coach, the one thing we also had this week was the draw. And I know we're going to touch on this later, but I want to touch on one bracket right now. Because it's something that involves your family member. But I was looking over different brackets, and I came across the Cathedral bracket. Oh my God! Heck, at 17-5, Lawrence Central 17-5, North Central 19-3, Cathedral 15-6, Lawrence North 16-5. You know, I don't think you can gripe about their draw because you see when you draw next up, it's just a nightmare.
No, and it's a great sectional. I think it's sectional 10 up in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I think that's the number. Folks,
which
this
is
thing
like
is
that,
not
yeah.
just—it's just not stacked with good teams. It's stacked with really good players. And as I tweeted a little bit earlier before we went on the show, Aaron Gordon, the outstanding player and potential All-State player in Indiana high school basketball, who plays for Cathedral. Butler men's basketball team, this comes from sources close to Cathedral, they are really pushing hard to try to find a way to get Aaron Gordon in a Butler Bulldogs uniform going forward next year. And I know that Michael Lewis and Coach Holtman were both at Cathedral's game last night. I don't know if my brother Don Schulteis, who contributes to the show once in a while from Indianapolis area, is listening, but if you are, Don, you might want to call in because that sectional begins on Tuesday night. So we won't really get a chance to talk a lot about that sectional. I'm planning to go up, Tice, Ed Schulteis, to watch that opening night as Cathedral will play North Central. And as you mentioned, Joe, two powerhouse teams. So, Don, if you're listening, if you want to call in and give us a quick preview of that sectional at Indianapolis Arsenal Tech, we would certainly appreciate it. But Joe, you did. You singled out truly one of the toughest sectionals in the state of Indiana.
Well, I got a question for you. Does your source tell you where else that Gordon's looking at right now? Is he narrowed the list down considerably, or? Coach? Are you there, Coach?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm
yeah,
here.
Do, what,
I was.
What,
I'm looking at my information.
I'm
seeing that Maryland and Seton Hall have a big interest in Aaron Gordon at this time, besides Butler.
Okay. Okay.
He is being pursued.
I've not really heard much about him. You know, I look at the IU boards and the Purdue boards, and I've really not seen that name mentioned, kind of forgot about him, you know, until you mentioned him just that there, and that'd be a great pickup for Butler.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right level for him, having watched him play, looking at his size. He's absolutely a talented player, but I think that Butler would be a perfect place for. I think he's one of those guys, you know, if he goes to a Butler, he has a chance to be a main player, you know, a focal player for that team, where if he goes to maybe a Maryland or somewhere like that, he may not be the focal player on that team. And don't get me wrong, folks, if you're a Butler fan listening to the show, and I know we have several, I'm not saying that Butler's not in the upper echelon of national programs. It most certainly is. I mean, you can't be in their league and not be. I'm just saying that for the type of player he is, Butler's going to get probably one of those guys every couple years, where other programs will get a chance at one of those guys every year. So that's what I'm saying about that, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
That is
yeah,
a great sectional.
Oh, God. I was looking them over. You know, I still love it. I wish it was single class still. I even loved it back then. I loved it even more back then, but. You know, I was just looking them over, you know, and you know, when I saw that, I thought, oh, my gosh. And I'll tell you what, you know, if you go to the IHSA website and then you click on the brackets, and what's great about it is, you know, you see the bracket, and then you can click on the show details. And, I just clicked on Heritage Hills and Gibson Southern, and I see that Heritage Hills is 7-15 and Gibson Southern is 11-11. You know, I mean, you know, you get a really good comparison and don't have to work too hard to do it, you know. Wood Memorial's 16-7 is taking on 9-13 Northeast Du Bois. You know, it's just a really nice website to you know, the way they've got, you can preview the game or you can click show detail. And it really gives you a lot of detail. And you can really break down a lot of stuff real fast that way. So So, but Coach, I'll tell you what, you you went to your old stomping grounds the other night, the Birdcage. How was that experience of returning to the Birdcage?
I did go over there, Joe, and that my son's high school team played at Washington Catholic, and for those of you who may not know, that's where I started my high school coaching career, right out of college. They had the insane idea to hire a 22-year-old IU grad as their head basketball coach. It was great to go back because, Joe, honestly, I had not been back in that gym. It's a historic gym built around 1924 or 1928, somewhere in there, still in use for the high school basketball team. Almost looks original to what it was when it was built. I mean, 99% original. And I came to the door of the gym. It was the first time I'd been back for a game since I left in 1990. And I had Facebooked out that I was heading over there, and several people from the Washington area had responded, and I had said, you know, we'll see you over there, and it was nice to see him. But when I came to the door, the principal is waiting at the door as I'm walking in. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble with the principal at Washington Catholic, Carrie Wilson Craney, and who knows where she's going to make me sit. But she was, and she was there to greet me. She was a student coming up through the grades when I was at Washington Catholic. A couple of my former students were working the gate, and I got to talk to them. And they were so gracious, took me on a tour of where improvements had been made in the school. They built a second gym, showed me where all the sectional tournament champion pictures were hung up. And they're not little 8x10s, they're big ones. They're huge, like a big screen TV, like a 65-inch big screen TV. And where they've got those, and it was a nice night. Evansville Day School won the varsity game. As I predicted, the JV game did not go Evansville Day School's way. But overall, it was a nice night, Joe, treated really well. And if you're in the Washington Catholic or Washington area, Washington, Indiana, you've never been in the Birdcage, the Washington Catholic gym, go there. If you want to see basketball, Hoosiers, the movie Hoosier style, from a gym standpoint, what it was like to play basketball in Indiana in the beginning, the early days in high school. Other than the coal stove, which my dad tells me were in some gyms to heat them back in the day, this gym is pretty much original to that time period. And when you sit upstairs, Joe, I don't know if you've been in the cage or not or you remember, but when you sit upstairs, the bleachers, there's only about four or five rows, and they're wooden built-in bleachers. They sit at a very high angle, steep angle, and you literally feel like you're looking over the top of the floor. You feel like you're looking right down from the top of the ceiling onto the floor. It's a great view. And it was a good time. It was a good time, Joe.
Well, good. I'm good. Glad to hear that. I read it on Facebook, and Janet had something on there, a picture of Scott, and said that you guys were returning to the Birdcage, and that brought back all the memories of going over and watching the WC people, Puff Holes and I, making venturing trips and then venturing back to Jasper at 1 or 2 in the morning after we went to the Schulteis household and had pizza. What was Mr. Madison's pizza place's name back then?
Bob's Pizza.
Was it Bob's Pizza? Okay.
Well, it was actually Bob's Pizza before the new Bob's came in. But we always called it Bob's Pizza because his cousins, I'm not going to get into the history of it, but Bob Madison pretty much ran it, and it was known as Bob's Pizza, but also most people just called it Bob's. So.
Okay. It was good pizza.
Great pizza. I just heard from Don Schulteis. He said, I can't call in, getting ready to board a plane. Listen to this, folks. He's heading for Phoenix for a few days to get some sun. He said he's tired of the cold weather in the Indianapolis area. So I'm assuming he and his wife, Lisa, the former Lisa Haas of Jasper, Indiana, is they're heading to Phoenix to get a few days of sun. Good for you,
Don. To get some sun. What do? Instead, I'm tired of the cold, too. Instead, I've got a little heater running by me to stay warm, to get real warm. So I use the cheaper app.
That's me. Or I go into a room and turn on a spotlight on me to get a little sun. That's about it. Folks, it is Friday, and you are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. We are doing an abbreviated show, at least I am. We'll do an hour today. We're going to talk a little more hoop. We'll also talk a few other things going on. But I'm assuming we're going an hour, correct, Joe?
Yeah, we're going to go an hour. You know, Coach, I want to apologize. I kind of blew it because for some reason I thought sectional is next weekend. But to highlight those Tuesday games, we should have had some of these coaches on today. And I realized about an hour ago that we should have been maybe talking to some of those people this week because they may not be around next week.
That's true. They may not. And the bad thing about it, we'll have to see who's out. But they might come on and talk about the rest of the teams in the sectional if they're feeling up to it. Sometimes, and I've been there, and so has my dad, but a couple of the guests that we will have on, former Jasper basketball coach, and he's literally the winningest Jasper basketball coach alive, and that's my 87-year-old father and former athletic director, Jasper basketball coach, modern-day basketball coach, Ed Schultheis, will join us next weekend on Friday to talk about the show.
Well, that'd
well.
Be great. That'd be great.
So,
I know a lot of people love to hear from him.
Well, we're going to talk just a little bit about basketball. Gary Hamilton, we had him on earlier in the season. Gary wanted to come back and talk a little bit about the officiating and going into the tournament, that type of thing. So we'll have Gary Hamilton. He is both a college and high school official here in the state of Indiana. And one of the heads of the official association, he'll come in and talk to us a little bit about how the officials are lined up, organized, picked, the process, and what they'll focus on as the state tournament begins here in Indiana. So just to let you know, next weekend will be a lot about Indiana High School Basketball Sectional Tournament and, of course, the Big Ten Tournament, which will be coming up, and all those different things leading in to March Madness. Of course, U of E is trying to hang tough. They will not win the Missouri Valley Conference, play as well as they can as they head into Arch Madness, which is the Missouri Valley Conference tournament over in St. Louis. They will need to win that. Joe, I would have to believe for them to get into the NCAA tournament, they have to win that tournament. I don't think they're going to get an at-large bid otherwise.
Well, hopefully they can,
It'll be tough. Southern Illinois will put up a fight, and so will Wichita State. But I believe the way it stands now, Joe, Evansville will be in the opposite bracket of Wichita State. I'm pretty sure. But we'll have all that next week. I know that Joe and I will both be working on some other guests as well. So I think it's going to be a pretty packed show as far as the semifinal rounds of the sectional tournament will be taking place that night, Friday night. We'll have some more clarity on what's going on in Indianapolis. Maybe Kyle Neddenrip will be able to join us for a little bit and talk about sectional tournaments up there. Or Don Schultheis will join us and contribute. And I'm hoping that my nephew, Matt Schultheis's Cathedral team, will still be going forward. Joe, before we go to a quick break, I want to mention this. Let me check my text messages, Joe. I just got two text messages, so let me see what's coming in here. You always got to look. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I got a message during the week, Joe, and this has absolutely got nothing to do with basketball. But, folks, I've always said if you text me or tweet me or email me, whatever you do, I'll answer the question. So I say, it says, Coach K, what are your thoughts on the Apple/FBI phone controversy? And it also says, Coach K and Joe, what are your thoughts? Well, I'll give you my thoughts real quick, and then Joe can follow up with any he has. I think it's a very much a slippery slope. I think that from a national security standpoint, it's critical that we be able to get to information in a timely manner if it's really going to be a difference maker for national security. But secondly, on the other side, I do understand Apple's approach here and some of the other companies, because, folks, when you first allow the government through the courts to and you set a precedent, when a court order is accepted and you go ahead and agree to it and you follow it, you are setting legal precedent. And for those of you who understand what I'm talking about, I got a couple sisters with attorney's degrees. When you set legal precedent, then in the future, when the FBI or whatever government entity, legal entity says, we need access to these phones or to this group or to these people or to this area of the country, then legal precedent opens it up that you and I's information, personal information that should be ours and only ours, can now be accessed. And I know what you're saying. Coach K, aren't you a patriot? I am absolutely a patriot. I'm not sure that in this situation, with all apologies to those who lost their lives in that horrible, cowardly act in California, I'm not so sure that the few minutes of time that they were looking for on here is going to be timely at this point anymore. And the second thing that people need to remember is people that confiscated the phone, they had an opportunity to get that information right away. They screwed up the process in getting it. They didn't have a protocol to go into the phone and get it the way it was at that point. And they went in and messed around with it and got themselves locked out. So that probably doesn't answer the question completely 100% to one way or the other, but I do see why Apple and other outlets that deal with personal information of hundreds of millions of people are very slow and even balking at agreeing with this court order to come up with an encryption that opens this phone up. You need to look at the bigger picture. Yes, this was a horrific situation, but it sets precedent for later on, and later on, the government, you know, may make broad, wide-sweeping reasons to get into phones and personal information, and this sets precedent for them to do it. Joe, anything to add on that?
Not really. I heard a little bit about this. You just explained a little bit more to me, and I have to agree with you. I mean, the word precedent is the word that stuck with me on it, you know. What's to stop them from, I mean, the computer already knows way too much about you anyways. I mean, what was the product I was shopping for? I was doing a search, not on Facebook, for a product, and then noticed the next two or three days, all the products on the right-hand column on my Facebook were those type of products. And it was like, people know way too much about you, more than they need to. And you know, my iPhone info is personal information, you know, and don't really care for the, you know, I would totally agree with what you said. So I just think it would set a precedent that could get ugly.
Yeah, that's my only point. And folks, I'm not a socialist. Believe me, I'm a Republican. I'm going to be flat honest with you. I'm a Republican, and I am a conservative, and I am all about the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and want national security. And I know there are going to be situations where things like this just have to be done. But remember, when you set a precedent in the legal system, and we can debate this and argue it, and you're no legal scholar, Coach K, you're right, I'm not. But the attorneys courts will always go where there is legal precedent to argue their case for the next opportunity. Let's go to a quick break. When we come back, Joe, we'll talk about the contest, the basketball pick'em contest from the last week and who our winner was for this week. Bill Walton's at it again in his tie-dye shirt for the UCLA game last night. It is the best comedy on television. Folks, I'm warming up my coffee. It's the abbreviated Coach K and Joe Show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back right after this message.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and I'm going to let my partner in crime, no, not Jay Bird Lorai, up in the Carmel area, I guess is where he lives now. Fisher's area, I guess. Love the bird. Jay listens to the show occasionally. So, Jay, if you're listening, I hope it's you're listening and you're selling right about four or five new mortgages. That would be great. Joe, the Coach K and Joe Show basketball pick'em contest sponsored by Azura Cafe and Grill. Let's update our listeners and get ready for next week as well.
Okay, first of all, I do want to point out the fact that after being called out as a hick last week, I did include a Central Indiana game, Bethesda Christian versus Indianapolis Lutheran. I do want to point that out. Hopefully I'm a little less hickish because of it.
Okay.
Last week we had three people out of everybody that picked correctly. They were Brian Kirkhoff, a one-time winner, Pace Jenkins, a one-time winner, and Carrie Schneider, a zero winner. And I'll tell you what, Pace, this is crazy, because when I started figuring out the tiebreaker, I was amazed. I first did Pace's. He was 5 points off. I hadn't looked at the other two. Looked at it, Brian Kirkhoff, better known as BK to those of us that know him well, 4 points off. Carrie Schneider, 2 points off. So Carrie Schneider is the winner of the Azura Grill and Cafe $10 gift card this week.
The doctor won?
Yes.
Ah, the doctor. Carrie the Doctor Schneider. You think Kurt Gooksell gave him some help at WPDC?
I think Duke didn't want to win because, you know, since he's on the show, he felt a little guilty of winning, and he filled it out for Carrie and sent it in.
Well, congratulations to Kurt Gooks, or to Carrie Schneider. Hey, what was that final? Oh, it was 77-73. I was pretty close on that score.
78-74 was Carrie's pick.
And my score was pretty close.
Well, you don't win, so.
Didn't I pick like 81-75 or 81-74 or something like that?
Let me look that up real fast. While I'm looking this up, this week's games are Bethesda Christian at Indianapolis Lutheran. Bloomfield at
Lutheran. Oh, you picked a good one there, didn't you?
Yeah. Princeton at Evansville Day School. Northern Iowa at U of E, and the point game this week is Maryland at Purdue, and with all the people picking Purdue right now, hoping that Purdue could help the Hoosiers out, Maryland might be a decent bet, because if Purdue would end up getting beat, you know, I'm just giving a little hint there, little hint to the people, you know, you never know. Coach, you were 81-75.
Yeah, I was pretty good on that score.
So you would have been 4 points off. You would have been tied with Brian Kirkhoff.
Wow. Wow, I'd have been right there. Joe, I might add that people, we want you to enter the contest. So go to CoachKandJoeShow.com. Press on the basketball contest. Scroll down and make your picks. And get them in. But what do they have to be in? By 5:30, Joe?
This week it'll be 6 o'clock. It'll be 6 o'clock, yeah. 6 o'clock. There's no varsity games that start any earlier. So, than that.
And you can also go to our Facebook site, correct? And access the contest link?
If you go there, you'll be able to click all right on it and go straight to that page and pick. And, hey, you know what? Something that takes you just a couple minutes, I'll tell you what, $10 at Azura, hey, heck, that's 2 bagels and a large coffee. And you got change left over, you know?
It's true. You know, Joe, it's interesting to me. A lot of people talk about the Big Ten. A lot of people talk about the Big 12. A lot of people talk about the ACC, but maybe the conference that people need to be talking about is Big East. The Big East had number one, what, Villanova? And Xavier's number five going into this week, and Xavier beats Villanova, number five.
Yes, they did.
Xavier beats number one Villanova. So, you know, a lot of times – we'll talk about the Big East being an important conference or a major conference, but we don't really talk about them up there with the ACC. We don't really talk about them up there with the Big Ten. And as of late, the Big 12 with Oklahoma State and such. But really, this is a conference that nationally people need to be paying attention to it. Coach Mack has done an incredible job at Xavier since he's taken over, and he has made that a national program. And I am not a big Xavier fan, as my niece, Taylor Schulteis, will tell you. She went to Xavier. I think it's a little shady how they can bring some of those guys in. But Xavier's a school out of Cincinnati, and they upended number one Villanova. And so Villanova, it's going to be interesting to see. I'm sure that the pundits will go with the easy choice here, Joe, and they'll put Kansas back up in first place. But you've got to make a case for Xavier. They've been doing it all year, and they do what obviously only two teams could do up to this point. They knock off number one Villanova. So big win for Xavier and Coach Mack. And for people who may say, that name sounds familiar, it should. He played for the Aces for a couple years before he transferred. I think he transferred out of U of E, but he did have a connection to the University of Evansville, and he's just done a great job. For you baseball people, we will be looking at spring training coming up. The catchers are going to be reporting or have reported or will report. Obviously, the Cubs are getting a lot of press, Joe. Cardinal Nation is biting their nails. They are biting their nails because the Cardinal way may not work this year, Joe. The Cubs, at least on paper, look to be pretty great. And there was an interesting discussion on sports talk, radio, and TV the other day, and that was the Cubs. Ownership has made it clear that they're going to make sure they keep Theo Epstein, and they will pay him what they need to pay him. And some people are talking, they're talking about $10 to $20 million a year for Chicago Cub general manager Theo Epstein.
Wow. The Cubbies.
I mean, that would be unprecedented in the annals of baseball hierarchy administration. Of course, Theo Epstein did a remarkable job with the Boston Red Sox, came in and broke the curse of the Bambino as the Red Sox went on to win at least two, maybe three World Series during his tenure, and then he went on to Chicago. And I got to admit, 2 years ago I was in Chicago with my brother Don and my brother Ed, and I was very, very, it was questionable. In fact, we made a $100 bet with each other about when the Cubs would if the Cubs would make it to the World Series within like a 6 year period. I think there's 5 years left for him to do it, and I could be on the losing end of that, Joe. To me, the Cubs were going to be able to do it, and they are pretty darn close right now, Joe.
Yeah, it's a good year for the Cubs, and the Cardinals. As you said, Cardinals. I do have the two Cardinal fans in house here, and they've both done some complaining so far. They don't like the way that some of these things are going, and they're just gonna have to deal with it. And I'll have to sit there and laugh and hope the Yankees can do better than them, so I can be king of the house. I'm tired of them.
I just got a text. I'm also getting another phone call. I don't know why. Folks, do not call this phone number. You need to text only. I've got a text asking me, can we go over the IHSA pairings in the southern part of the state? I can do that, Joe. I've got them right in front of me.
Yeah,
if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and read those off.
Why don't you read them off, and then let's just make a couple quick comments on each one.
All right. Let's start with the Evansville North section, sectional 16, class 4A, begins on March 1st. Castle 17-4 versus Central. March 4th sees Wright versus Harrison, who won last night. North versus the Castle Central winner, and then the championship is on March 5th at 7 p.m. Thoughts, Joe?
I'll tell you what, I don't follow I follow Castle up when I do it. The other ones, I have followed kind of Central because they've been such an up-and-down team. Maybe you can give me some insight on the Wrights. I mean, that Wrights-Harrison game is intriguing, record-wise, but is it intriguing or not? I don't know.
I think it's intriguing if Harrison can handle the consistent pressure or constant pressure of Wrights. Wrights did lose the other night to Southport. Joey Brunk and Paul Scruggs came in to Wrights on the Hill and beat them by a couple of points. But, again, it was a great game in Southport. Obviously, those are two Division I players we're talking about in Scruggs and Brunk. Brunk going to Butler and Paul Scruggs being recruited by IU and just about everybody else. I would say that it will be a very competitive game. Harrison has a good group. They're 15-16-5, actually 16-5 right now. But I think Wright, because of their constant pressure, full court pressure, Drew Smith and the boys, they can shoot the ball pretty well. When you can defend on the full court, which forces teams' offenses to do things they're not used to, and you can shoot the ball, it makes a big difference. Now, what I would love to see is somebody, if they have the ability, press Wrights. A lot of times teams that are good at something, doing something against others, if you do it to them, they struggle with it. So I'd like to see somebody do that. But right now, Joe, I'd have to say Wrights is probably going to come out of there. But it's no guarantee. Class 3A at Boonville, Gibson Southern, which you brought up, 11-10 or 11-11 versus Heritage Hills, 6-15 plays, and these records may be one win or one loss different because I'm looking at Monday's printout of the sectional pairing. And then Bossy versus Memorial. I believe, Joe, before you comment, I believe that Bossy Memorial game is going to bring the sectional winner out. Having said that, Boonville has played well since the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. If you'll remember, Joe, Boonville had not won a game. They looked horrible early on. And since then, they put together 10 wins. And actually, if you look at their last 15 or 16 games, they have a winning record in their last 15 games, I believe. So I don't think Boonville's got enough to win that. Mount Vernon 7-14. They'll play the winner of Heritage Hills, Gibson Southern. We'll play the winner of the Bossy Memorial game. I think the winner comes out of Bossy Memorial. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Boonville, you know, they when Jasper played them, I went in thinking easy game, and, you know, they played hard, and they have some talent. And the thing is, too, is, well, their best player is a sophomore. I can't remember his name right now. Oh, it's from the Winsett family down there, but it's not his last name. I can't remember it offhand. But he's a nice player. He's a sophomore, but they have seven seniors, you know, so that might have something to do with their, you know, it's their last go around. But, you know, I think that Bossy and Memorial game is one to be looked at. Now, the thing I got to ask is, I just clicked on Bossy because it shows that their record, I guess it looks like 16-9. How did they play 25 games?
I don't think it's correct. I have their record as 13-9. Bossy.
Yeah, there's no way you can play 25 games.
Yeah, their up-to-date record is 13-9. And again, some of the records I told you folks were a game either behind on the loss or the win column. You mentioned it earlier. Gibson Southern's 11-11. Bossy is 12-9. I believe Memorial is 7-14. They lost a close game the other night, 7-13. They lost a close game to North the other night, 72-70. Now, having said that, Bossy and Memorial seem to bring out the best in each other. So even though it looks like Bossy on paper, don't count that winner yet, because Memorial does have Eberhard. Memorial does have Dylan Penn. Memorial does have some guys that can play the game. The key is they have to shoot well. And if they don't shoot well, that really causes them some problems because they're young. Sam DeBalt, a freshman, 6'7", 6'8", freshman, has played well for him most of the year. I think he's averaging about 8 or 9 points a game. But I do believe the sectional winner will come out of that game. Class 2A, well, that's not right. It's not class. Yeah, Class 2A at Jasper. Sometimes this sectional is held at Southridge. This year it's held at Jasper, March 1st. Tell City, 7. Actually, they won the other night, so they've got 8 wins, I believe. Tell City, 7-14. No, they lost. 7-14 versus Perry Central, 4-18. Modern Day is either 10-11 or 11-10 on their updated. Let me look here. They won. So they're 11-10. Modern Day, 11-10. We'll play North Posey. And let me see if North Posey won the other night, Joe, because I'm going off the old records. I don't see their score in here.
Who did they play?
North Posey is going to play Modern Day, and I have their record as 5-6-17.
I can tell you real fast. They are 6-16 is what they got listed here. They got beat their last game by Tell City beat them.
Okay. Tell City
won, actually. So
Tell City.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Just ignore me. Go.
I know, because you're back and forth here. Either way, Tell City is playing Perry Central. I think Tell City will win that game. Braden Beard, a freshman for them, does a nice job. Modern Day plays North Posey. I can remember when North Posey, or when Modern Day, was well under 500. They're 11-10 right now. Coach Waldeman, he got them going, and they're playing well. They're 11-10 versus North Posey. Forest Park, probably the favorite in that sectional, with 16 wins, Joe. Forest Park has 16 wins. I think it's going to come down to Forest Park. South Spencer will play the winner of Modern Day and North Posey. South Spencer's 12-8. But I think it's going to be Forest Park and Modern Day playing for that sectional championship. And I don't know who's going to win that, because I believe Modern Day beat Forest Park during the season. I could be wrong.
Yeah, you're right. And I'll tell you what, that sectional, I think it comes down to those two as well. Modern Day plays a nice schedule, and Forest Park, Forest Park's been on a roll. Forest Park is, I think, has to win tonight to be the outright champion of the Pocket Athletic Conference, and I don't think many people would have picked them as the preseason favorite.
No, especially when you consider what Pike Central was doing, and we'll talk about Pike Central next. I'll bring that up as we talk about this next the sectional over in at Southridge in 3A in just a second. Let me hit the Class A Tecumseh sectional, sectional 64. This will be at Tecumseh this year. Tecumseh 9-11, who has played well as of late, versus Cannleton 4-17. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no way, unless there's supernatural intervention from above, that Cannleton's going to beat Tecumseh. The best draw you could have gotten was to play Cannleton. Sorry, Cannleton. I've played you before. I've been there before.
It's reality.
You are a shell. You're a shell of what you used to be. Tecumseh will beat Cannleton. Wood Memorial plays Dubois. Wood Memorial 16-7, playing out without their best player, Nathan Falls, I believe is his name. Northeast Dubois, 9-12. Dubois at tournament time. Don't count them out. They got a game in them. Wood Memorial probably should win that game. Sprained his ankle a few weeks ago, but he looks to be back. He's a solid player. He's a smart player. He doesn't try to do too much. He just does the right thing. I look for Wood Memorial to move on, but cheep, don't be shocked. They could pull one off. Then on March 4th, Springs Valley will play the Tecumseh-Cannleton winner. They're 10-11. I don't know what's going to happen there. Day School will play Wood Memorial, Northeast Dubois winner. A month ago, or 5 weeks ago, I would have said Day School is the co-favorite with Wood Memorial. I can't say that since they no longer have their best player, sophomore Riley Epley, 20 points, 10 rebounds a game. But Day School is good enough to win the sectional. I've seen them all year. Levi Willis is the real deal. They've got two pretty good outside shooters, a pretty strong post player, and a sophomore coming along. And this is a team out of their top five, six players, four of them are underclassmen. They will be successful next year if they can add some people to those pieces. Now, having said that, it looks like Wood Memorial and Tecumseh could meet in that championship game. Your thoughts quickly, Joe, before we go to Southridge.
I predict, and I'm great at predicting because, you know, I say whatever I want to say, but I predict that they're down two. They need three-point shooters. They stick Scotty Schultheis in the game. He hits the game winner and points up at you and says, I'm a better player than you were. That's my prediction.
You know what? I hope that happens, Joe, and I would be bowing to him. And agreeing. I would probably put the sign up. You're a better player than I was. And he already is, actually. I hope he gets a chance to hit a big shot. I've hit a couple in my day, but that was a long time ago. I hope he gets that opportunity. Again, folks, if you're in the Evansville area, Evansville Day School has a real shot at that as well. But they're going to have to play much better interior defense-wise. They struggle. They're soft on the interior, and that hurts them. And sometimes their shot selection can be a bother. Wood has beaten Day School by five. Tecumseh's beaten Day School on the last second shot. Wood's beaten Tecumseh. It's been competitive the whole way. Now let's go to Southridge section. This section is usually played at Southridge or at Washington. It's the 3A section. And let me tell you, folks, Joe tweeted out or texted me a pre-draw of his bracket. They were absolutely the opposite. They absolutely came out of opposite of what Joe was hoping.
So you just switched Princeton and or not Princeton, Pike Central and Jasper, and it was exactly what
they were absolutely opposite of what Joe said. Southridge sectional, 32, Joe?
31.
Sectional 31. Princeton on Tuesday will play Pike Central. Pike Central wins that game, but let me tell you something. Pike Central went into the ranking, got as high as six or seven. Listen, folks, they've lost three out of their last four, and they got beat pretty good by South Knox the other night. Now, here's the thing. Mentally, you tell your team, and we'll talk with with Coach Ed about that. Coach Ed Schulteis next weekend about that going into the sectional. Because some of these teams will not play till Friday night. But some people say, well, that's a throwaway game, the last game. If you don't win, it's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. You want to win, but more than anything else, you want to come out healthy and you want to play well. Pike Central's lost three of their last four, I believe. And if you Pike Central fans out there want to correct me, you can text me at 812-480-9449. But I believe they've lost three out of their last four, Joe.
Yes, they have.
They've lost to Jasper. They've lost to South Knox. And Forest Park. Okay? And these are all teams that are at a level or a little lesser level than the teams they will see in the Southridge sectional. So that's just food for thought when you think about where Pike Central can end up. And they need to win this year because they're going to lose a couple of pretty good players. Washington, they'll be decent next year, though. Washington, 17-4 versus Jasper, 14-6 on Tuesday. Friday, Southridge got a great draw. They play the winner of Princeton Pike Central. But guess what? Pike Central got a great draw. But the assistant coach at Southridge, told me the night that we played Southridge, Evansville Day School played Southridge. They wanted to play Pike Central. They're going to get their wish. Assistant coach at Southridge told me that. And you know him. Vincennes Lincoln will play the winner of Washington Jasper. That side of the bracket is stacked. They've all beaten each other, round robin wise. So, Joe, your thoughts? We got about a minute left. Well, we can go over a little bit, but
My winner is going to be out of the Washington Jasper game. I think whoever wins that stays focused, gets past Vincennes, and that's just my opinion. Whoever wins that one will be the champion. Pike Central's not playing real good right now, you know. So we'll see. But Coach, we need to just before we make our picks real fast, we need to go over just the. I'll just read them real fast because I know we have listeners up in the Lagodi area. On the first night, Lagodi will play Shoals, and in the semifinals, North Davies will play Vincent Gervais. Washington Catholic will play the winner of Lagodi and Shoals, then Saturday the finals. And then also, Eastern Green plays Mitchell, South Knox plays North Knox. Linton Stockton will play the winner of Eastern Green and Mitchell, and Bar Reeve will play the winner of South Knox and North Knox. Yep. Do you have any quick comments on those two sections?
Yeah, we definitely, we've got time. We want to leave. Yeah. This show's only going to be an hour, but it can be an hour and 10 minutes. I definitely want to comment on that. When I look at that Class A sectional, I've seen Shoals, I've seen Lagodi, I've seen Reveille, I've seen Washington Catholic. I think that Reveille, North Davies, and Lagodi are going to battle. They're just going to battle. Now, somebody's going to come out of that North Davies-Reveille game. I don't know who that's going to be, honestly. North Davies has played better as of late than they did early. Lagodi handled them with ease, and they've been beaten by some other teams that have kind of surprised me. Washington Catholic, as they work hard, but they can't compete. They just can't. They got a kid, I think his name's A.J. Sellers. He's a nice player, a nephew of the Witchmans from over at Washington Catholic. He's a nice player. I think he's close to 1,000 points, but they don't have anything to go with him. So I don't think that's a three-team race there, Joe. Lagodi, North Davies, and Reveille. And all three of those teams will go into Friday for sure with North Davies playing Reveille and Lagodi coming out of the Shoals game and playing Washington Catholic. In that 2A sectional where Bar Eve was bumped up, that's a strong field. Eastern Green's got a good team, Joe. They play Mitchell, and we know Mitchell's not very good. South Knox is playing well. Their win over Pike Central, they played really, really well. Now, they do count on a young player to lead them in a lot of their games. So we'll see how he does in the sectional. I pick Bar Eve to come out of there, as I'm sure you do. Linton Stockton is a formidable foe as well. Joey Hart, 19-4. But Barr even handled them pretty well earlier this year. So I see Linton Stockton, Barr Eve in the championship game. I'm going to give the edge to Barr Eve. But we'll talk more about that next Friday as the pictures become clear. Your thoughts on those two sectionals, Joe?
I think if I'm a Ligoti fan, I really like it to be able to play Shoals and Washington Catholic as tune-ups for it and then get ready for that last game. And I like Barr Eve. You know, I think Barr Eve's just, you know, Coach Hughes just runs a class program. They're just strong, and I see them coming out of that. The only thing I regret about all this draw, Coach, is there's a Jasper sectional, and I won't be attending it.
Yeah, it'll be nice, though, for the gym.
I will go on I will get up on my horse, white horse right now and say, you know, I know we've got Washington and South for its two nice gyms, but for Jasper to have nothing, I thank God it's being used because, you know, I actually got into an argument with a Washington guy who's probably listening, and I told him, Jasper's got a nice gym. Washington, we don't need that much room anymore. We can go over all the pluses and the pros and cons. Of course, the con at Washington and Southridge is parking. Jasper everybody that comes to a Jasper sectional would be able to park on the school property. So there's all. But that's a debate we can have some other time.
Well, I agree, and I'm not. I agree, and I'm not going to say that you're wrong. I would never pick a site based on parking. I would hate to see the Washington gym not used. I would hate to see the Southridge gym not used. I'm glad that Jasper's gym is getting some teams coming in and playing in the tournament. It's great for the community. It's great for the facility. But I got to tell you, you know, when you walk into the Southridge gym, but even more when you walk into Washington and all the bleachers are out, I know the crowds have been down at different times. It's quite a feeling to be down in that little – what I call that little hole on the floor, and you look up, and it's just an amazing feeling. But all three gyms are great. All three communities have great history. Folks, we'll make a lot of that more clear as we go on next week. We'll have a number of different guests. We'll be lining up. We know Gary Hamilton will be here to talk to us about the official sides of things, officiating, former Jasper basketball coach and athletic director Ed Schulteis, 87 years young, great mind yet. He'll be here. We'll talk a little bit about the sectional and tournament history as far as how he looked at things, getting his guys ready. We'll talk a little bit about that as the rounds will be into the semifinals Friday and Saturday. Folks, if you're a Hoosier fan, we got two huge games coming up. Iowa and Maryland at home. Iowa on the road, Maryland at home. Two big wins. I think we can get one of two for sure. If we run the table, wow, that's all I've got to say. This team is fun to watch because they're playing basketball, Indiana Hoosier style. And I'm just happy that it finally happened. Any comments from my Bill Walton type co-host Joe Milligan before we end the show?
Well, one last thing we need to do is we need to pick the games.
That's right. Let's get them.
Bethesda Christian versus Indianapolis Lutheran. I did put a Central Indiana game in there.
I can't believe. You know, that's just your way of getting at. That's just your
hick.
Way of getting at.
I'm a hick. I'm not
going
to you.
No,
I'm Mr. Mooresville.
I have no – Brian from Mooresville is probably just laughing right now. Bethesda Christian versus who? Who's the other one?
Indianapolis Lutheran.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'll take – do you have any records on them?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to look them up. I'm going to go ahead and give you the Bloomfield Barr Eve game while I'm trying to find this.
Barr Eve.
Okay, and I'm going with Barr Eve as well. And then I want you to talk about this game for a few seconds. Give me time to look this up. We've got Princeton at Day School.
Princeton at Day School. Princeton is got two wins. they have a surprising win over Mount Vernon, Indiana. Mount Vernon, Indiana, not Mount Vernon High School. It's Mount Vernon High School in the southern part of the state, Gibson County, or Posey County. Mount Vernon, they beat them by 30 points a couple weeks ago. They played competitive. But I've got to believe, even at this point, if Evansville Day School does the things they need to do defensively, at home on senior night, Evansville Day School will get their 12th win of the season and one of their rare winning seasons. They'll be 12-11 going into the tournament, and it will be a positive for the Eagles as winning seasons are rare for Evansville Day School. So
I'm going to go with Evansville Day School as well. We're going to go back to the high school ranks. We've got 15-7 Bethesda Christian versus the 12-8 Indianapolis Lutheran, whoever their name is, the Lutherans.
I have no idea. I'm going to take Bethesda Christian just based on the record. So that's what I'm going to do.
I'm going with the home team. I'm going with Indianapolis Lutheran.
You're probably sitting there looking at the RPI and everything else, aren't you?
No, I'm not, because I didn't have that much time. Okay, we're going to the college ranks. We've got Northern Iowa traveling into the Ford Center to play Marty Simmons, University of Evansville, Purple Aces.
It's going to be a tough game. Northern Iowa plays the good teams well. They really do. And they beat UV at Northern Iowa, but I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think it's going to be a nip-and-tuck game. I'm going to take the Aces.
I can't go against Marty Simmons either, and I'm going with the Aces as well. The score game, Maryland at Purdue.
Maryland at Purdue. Man, do I want the Boilers to win that one. Back. Maryland needs a win. Purdue will be pumped. Who are you picking, Joe?
I'm going with Purdue 78, Maryland 73.
Wow. 78, 73. You're going with the Boilers. I'm going to go with Maryland, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to go with Maryland, and I'm going to go 79, 74.
79, 74. And, Coach, before we close that out, I did want to say, someone came up with a scenario. I was reading it, I don't remember where if IU would get beat by Maryland and Iowa, there's still a possibility, believe it or not, of a five-way tie if everything went to the way the guy explained it. I don't remember what all it was, but, yep.
I believe that, and I agree with it, and this could be the wackiest Big Ten ending we've seen in years, Joe.
Yeah, Purdue could end up with as bad as an 8 seed.
Well, we'll see what happens. Folks, we're cutting it short today. We appreciate you joining us on this Friday. I've got a little bit of coffee left, so I'm going to finish it off, and then I got to run out and do some things for my wife and family. So, Joe, I appreciate you joining me again this morning. God bless to everybody. Enjoy basketball. Enjoy whatever sport or family time you have together. And give it your best, whatever you do. Take it away, Joe.
Okay, before I give you the usual close, I will tell you that Jasper today, one of Millie Communications Company, came out with our special Hoops edition this week. So if you're a Jasper basketball fan, you're going to want to take a look at that. It was quite a fun thing to put together, and even if you aren't a Jasper fan, I think it has a lot of history involved with it, and it's a great read. So,
Joe.
Yes.
I just got a text from a listener, Beth Geltz. Beth works with my wife at Edward Jones, at her Edward Jones office, and Beth says, "Go Purdue." She is an avid IU fan. She says, "Go Purdue." You won't hear me say that hardly ever. And I'm sure most IU fans will be saying that versus Maryland.
Well, I appreciate it, but it's not needed, and we don't want you guys to be for. But I do want to tell you though that you know, Purdue does lose, it won't hurt me as near as much. So.
All right, Joe. See you next Friday, my friend.
Okay. And as I said, check out Jasper Today at www.jaspertodayonline.com. And for Coach K, this is Joe saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.